was actually on the road with cattle, driving, you know, and for the company I worked for. You know, I never got any mail for about 3 months. And, of course, I missed my first call-up, which would have been in, we'll say, June, roughly. And so I went into the second call-up in September. And I was past fit and ready and all the rest of it. So, as it turned out, I ended up in New South Wales Battalion, the 5th Battalion, with a Queensland number plate on me. a good bunch of people.
Great. How did you become one of the first to serve in Vietnam?
Well, I was one of the first emergency reserves that went over. There's a battalion ahead of me, of course, and there's also a team called the ATTV, the Australian Training Team Vietnam, were there, you know, probably 18 months or whatever. And then one battalion went over and five relieved them, and I went over, you know, a little bit later, a few weeks later, as, you know, emergency sort of replacement, reinforcements, they called it, you know, for the first casualties and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, so that's how I ended up in FIRA, missing that first call-up.
We hear a lot about how Vietnam vets were treated when they got home. What was your reception like?
Well, when we came back, we came back to Sydney, of course, and received a ticker tape reception, you know, and we were fortunate that we were among the first of those to come home, sort of thing, before this other rubbish started to get about. So we had a very warm and great return home, and same, you know, when I got back to Winton, and has continued on to this day. That some of our chaps that came back afterwards had people throwing red paint at them, all that sort of rubbish.
Mm.
No, but we were treated well.
When those protests were in full swing and public recognition stopped for return personnel, how do you think that affected them?
Well, I think you can see to this day that it certainly affected a lot of people very badly, and understandably so too. As far as they were concerned, they were doing the very best for their country, and these agitators, or whatever you wish to call them, wanted to throw paint at them.
Mm.
I believe there's still a place up in the Gulf there. Some of them knock about up there to shun society to a certain degree. And one can understand that, you know. It'd be a pretty fair sort of a kick in the tummy, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Let alone off the back of what they'd experienced in Vietnam. What were the conditions like when you got there?
Shocking. Mm. Absolutely shocking. Pigs lived better than us, and I mean that literally. They did. At least they could choose where they camped. Well, we couldn't, of course. And, not much fun, you know, laying in ambush for 4 or 5 days and 100 leeches eating you, and mosquitoes and torrential downpours and anything else you'd like to name. No, shocking place. It got better later on with the amenities back at base, I understand, you know, that buildings and all that sort of stuff.
Not in your time, though?
No, we had some old tents and that sort of thing. A few boards, hunks of board on the floor, on the dirt, you know.
In monsoon weather?
Oh, yeah. Mud, and more mud, but most of the time we weren't there anyway. It was still mud out there in the jungle. So, yeah, not a good place.
What could possibly prepare somebody for war?
Oh, particularly a bloke from out bush here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dry, dusty most of the time. But anyway, yeah, we survived it.
How ready were you after the training you'd been through?
We were excellent. The training was excellent. And they had us prepared spot on. The Army did a very good job. You know, you're mad fit, you understood. You know, we trained here in rainforests and all that sort of stuff here in Australia, and we were very well trained and very fit, and having said all that, it makes a bit of difference from the other blokes, you know, fair dinkum. You know, a bit of lead coming your way makes you sort of liven your footsteps up a bit. We were very well trained, probably at that stage the best in the world. Except perhaps the Kiwis weren't far behind us.
We're talking with Glenn Haystead this morning, the president of the Winton sub-branch of the RSL and a returned serviceman himself from Vietnam. If you could have your time again, Glenn, would you serve again?
Oh, certainly. No doubt about that. And privilege to serve your country and all that. No worries there.
And what does Remembrance Day mean for you?
Well, I'm pretty much a typical sort of Aussie fella, and we have a very high, enlistment turnout from all of various wars here in Winton, and from the Boer War to World War One, World War Two, and so on. Korea, Malaya, emergency in Vietnam, East Timor, Iraq, and Afghanistan, and so on. You know, we're up to. We haven't got anyone from Afghanistan as members here, but we have from East Timor. That is continuing on in the tradition. You're there to help and bring peace, hopefully anyway, but it seems to be keeps on going, doesn't it?
Mm.
And there's a lot of our personnel involved in peacekeeping around the globe too, for that matter. But, I think it's very important that the general public and, you know, especially the younger ones reminded of the sacrifices of those that, you know, have served in so many places and in many cases have paid the supreme sacrifice.
Glenn, I understand something special is happening quite by surprise for a friend of yours in Boolia today.
Yes, that's right, Helen. I received a phone call to start it all off a few days ago, and as a result I met up with the company. There was five serving personnel, six old chaps, my vintage, from Vietnam, Borneo, and so on, and they will be at Boolya for the Cataflac party. Now, Boolya, as far as I know, and I know the chap, there's only one there for this day of days, Remembrance Days, but he's going to be reinforced very much so by 12 personnel. Now, these people have done this at their own expense.
Mm.
There's a third combat engineer regiment, the serving personnel, and the other ones, as I said, are old chaps like myself. I think what a wonderful thing for Remembrance Day. You know, some kids in Boolya would never have seen serving personnel, in full regalia, up close and personal, I wouldn't have thought.
And what a special moment for your friend there.
Yes, yes. He been the only bloke on the block there for 18 months, 2 years now, I think. I'm so terribly pleased to have been, associated with it in a very minor degree.
And 11 a.m. today must be a very personal time for you. Who's going to be in your thoughts, Glenn?
Oh, well, I lost mates over there, as most of us did. But, you sort of think back, I've lost uncles, as most of us have, and so on, various other conflicts in World War Two, and to name one, various others, as I said, from the Boer War all the way down.
Mm.
Time for reflection. I think now in town here, there's only two or three returned personnel left. We've still got 21 members or something in the sub-branch, but when I was a young fellow, and I joined here, 40-odd years ago, 45 years ago, whatever, you'd shake a sugar bag around the flat and there'd be returned blokes coming out from under it,
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, age catches up with all of us. Yeah, so it's a time for reflection, but I'm always sort of driving the youngster sort of barrel so that they know and can appreciate and grow up with that knowledge of what has gone before.